Just over 2,000 years ago, on Easter Sunday, Christ rose from the dead, a day that has been described as the greatest day in history. He launched the greatest religion the world has ever known. When people say to me they don't believe in Jesus Christ, my first response is usually to say, well, what year do you think it is? And when they say 2019, I will say, and when do you think they started counting? Because the Jews think it's the year 5,700 and something. The Chinese make it the year 12,000 and something. Clearly we've been counting for more than 2,019 years, but we stopped and started again. Why? Because of Jesus. Why are we here this morning? Why are we here on a Sunday? I always used to think Sunday was the seventh day of the week because it's the weekend and Sunday's the last day of the weekend, therefore that is the seventh day. And of course God rested on the seventh day, so that's why we hold church services. But I was wrong. I eventually found out that Sunday is the first day of the week and that the seventh day of the week is Saturday. So why are we here on Sunday? Because Christ rose from the dead on the Sunday, on the first day of the week. And so Christians have always celebrated on the Sunday. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back, because the last few days we've been on a journey through the Easter story. We started on Thursday evening with an attempted recreation of the Passover meal. And then we thought about Jesus' trial in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it would have been so easy for him to walk down the road away from Jerusalem. But for our sakes, he turned back to face certain cruel death. And then on Good Friday, we considered his trial and his crucifixion. And many of his disciples thought that was the end. And now here we are on Easter Sunday. But wait, I've missed a day. There's Easter Saturday. What happened on the Saturday between his crucifixion and his resurrection? Well, tradition has it that Jesus went down to Hades to bring up the dead. Whether he went down bodily or in spirit is a debatable point. But it answers the question that people have. They say, well, okay, the only way we're really going to get into heaven is to have our sins wiped away. And that happened on the cross. The work was done on Good Friday when Jesus was killed in our place and took the punishment for our wrongdoing. And so what about the people who died before that point in time? What about Moses and David and Noah and the thousands of other people who lived and died before Jesus was crucified? Clearly they didn't have that forgiveness to get into heaven. Well, what Christians believe is that they went to a place called Hades, a kind of waiting room, where they sat around waiting until Jesus was crucified. In fact, theologians have it that there were two waiting rooms, one for the just and one for the unjust. We wanted to keep them separate. And so, on Easter Saturday, Jesus descended to Hades and sorted out the mess. The just he took with him to paradise. Now, the biblical justification for this scenario is fairly scant, if I'm honest. There's a verse in Acts chapter 2 where I think it's Peter speaking, said, seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realms of the dead, nor did his body see decay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. And then Ephesians 4. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And there he's making a quote from Psalm 68, verse 18. I cannot build a picture of Hades and the waiting room and everything from those few verses, but that is Christian tradition, and it has been so from the earliest times. It was incorporated into the Apostles' Creed. If I read an excerpt from the Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. So within the Apostles' Creed, it has that line, he descended to the dead, between his death and burial and his rising again. So that is Easter Saturday. The Bible has little to say about it, and I usually assume if the Bible has little to say about something, then it's probably not that important. But we'll move on to Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, arguably the most important day in history. Christ came back from the dead. I said the work was done on Friday, so why is Easter Sunday so important? Well, think about it. After the crucifixion, the disciples were frightened. They were scattered. It was Jesus' resurrection that brought them back together again. It's the most important day in the church's year. The Anglican Church traditionally counted their membership as being the number who attended on Easter Sunday. We started celebrating at 9 o'clock this morning with Easter breakfast. And can I again express my thanks to all who were involved in preparing that? We've had some good services and good food over these last few days. And thank you to everyone involved in those services. If we started at 9 o'clock, some Christians will have got up before dawn to have an Easter sunrise service. When the sun comes up on Easter Sunday morning, they celebrate. This is when Mary and Martha ran to the tomb and found Jesus wasn't there. But even they aren't the first. The Catholics getting first, because they have their main Easter service at sunset on the Saturday evening. So they beat us by almost a whole day. Why on Easter Saturday evening? Well, I think they're probably following the Jewish tradition of specifying the day. The Jews count a day from sunset to sunset. So Easter Saturday starts at sunset on Friday evening and goes through to sunset on Saturday evening. And then sunset on the Saturday evening, we start the third day, the day on which Jesus rose from the dead. So you couldn't possibly celebrate any sooner than they do. And they have a lovely service. They start outside the church and they light a single candle, and then they process into the church behind that one candle, and the church is very dark, but everyone has a candle, and then a few light their candles from the one candle, and then they light other candles, and slowly the whole church fills with light. It's very powerful imagery. The light of the world is risen again. Jesus, the light of the world. And we pass that light on from one to another as we share the good news, as we share the gospel, until the whole world has heard the glorious gospel of the risen Christ. It's a very powerful imagery. And then they have baptism and confirmation and the Eucharist. It is the one time of the year when you can become a member of the Catholic Church. It is a very important service for them, as Easter Sunday is an important service for us. One of my favourite songs at the moment is a Hillsong's song called What a Beautiful Name. And one day we must get up to singing it on a Sunday morning. But there is a bridge section which says this: death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. The meaning of Easter is Jesus' victory over death. His resurrection symbolizes the eternal life that is granted to all who believe in him. The meaning of Easter also symbolizes the complete verification of all that Jesus preached and taught during his 3-year ministry. If he had not risen from the dead, if he had merely died and not been resurrected, he would have been considered just another teacher or rabbi. However, his resurrection changed all that and gave a final and irrefutable proof that he was really the Son of God and that he had conquered death once for all. Without Easter Sunday, it would have been just one more prophet who came and taught and did a few miracles and was put to death, and the Jews had a long history of killing their prophets. But his return from the dead changed all of that. The real work was done on Friday, but it was Sunday that proved it. I don't think the disciples ever really got it when Jesus said he would die and rise again. And he said it to them many times. But I think at the point where he said, "I am going to die and on the third day I will rise again," they heard the words, "I am going to die," and never heard the rest. They were so shocked. Peter argued with Jesus, "Don't say you're going to die just when it's all coming together. Your popularity is massive. Huge crowds are following you. Why all this talk of dying?" And the thought of Jesus dying at that point was so unacceptable to them that I don't think they ever really heard, "But on the third day I will rise again." I love the bit where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and where he's being fairly clear that he is the Son of God. And the Pharisees consider this blasphemy and they say, "Don't you know who we are? Don't you realize who you are talking to? We have the power to have you put to death." And Jesus replied, in my translation, "Kill me if you want. On the third day I'll come back to life." What a reply. Anyone else said that, it would be sheer arrogance and stupidity. But Jesus said it because it was true. "Kill me if you want. I'll come back to life on the third day." I love the story of Lazarus. You remember, Jesus was some distance away from Bethany and Lazarus was dying. And a messenger came to Jesus and said, "You need to come to Bethany quick. Your friend Lazarus is dying." And so Jesus immediately stayed where he was for 3 days. I never used to understand that. His friend's dying. He could save his life. And so he stays where he is. Why? Because he wanted Lazarus to die. He wanted to show them that death wasn't the end. Lazarus was dead and in a tomb for 3 days, and Jesus brought him back to life. It was a perfect illustration of what Jesus himself was going to go through. "When you see me put in a tomb, don't worry, I've conquered death. Look, I've just shown you." But still they didn't understand. They just didn't get it. And so after his death, his disciples were scattered. Some went back to Galilee. After 3 years, they were back to their boats, back to their fishing. It had been a great adventure, but it was all over. It was his resurrection that brought them back together, that reignited the dream. This wasn't the end, this was the beginning. If they had not understood when he told them he would rise from the dead, and goodness knows he told them often enough, then what else didn't they understand? He told them before he was crucified that he must go to the Father, because the Father would then send them another comforter just like himself. He said, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Did they understand that? That was new. In Acts chapter 1, After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They'd misunderstood him once. This time they were going to get it right. This time they would stay together in Jerusalem and await the promise. At his crucifixion, Jesus had fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah, even the difficult ones. It says, "And they gave me vinegar for my thirst." That is Psalm 69, verse 29. A messianic prophecy that was fulfilled on the cross. Zechariah chapter 12. "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced." When the soldier pierced his side with a spear on the cross, he fulfilled that prophecy. The reason they rushed to take Jesus down and bury him at the end of Good Friday is because of the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law says that if someone has been put on a pole, you must not leave the body hanging on the pole overnight. Be sure to bury it that same day. That's Deuteronomy 21. And so, if prisoners were still alive and it was getting towards dusk, it was getting towards the start or the end of the day, they weren't allowed to leave a prisoner on the pole overnight. That is why they broke their legs. I don't know whether you realize, crucifixion is death by suffocation. As you hang from your arms, it puts pressure on your chest and you can't breathe. In order to lengthen the agony and the entertainment, as it was seen, they normally put a sloping platform where their feet were so they could stand on it, but as they got tired they slipped off and then they hung by their arms. They were suffocating, they had pain in their chest, and so they scrabbled to get back on that platform, and then as they got tired they slipped off again. Jesus was unusual in having his feet nailed to the cross. But if the crucifixion was going on too long, then in order to speed it up, they broke the legs of the people on the cross so they could no longer stand. But that didn't happen to Jesus again. Jesus was our Passover lamb, our sacrificial lamb. And in Exodus 12 it says this about the Passover lamb: "It must be eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones." And again, a messianic prophecy, Psalm 34. "The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken." And so when the soldiers came to break the legs on that Good Friday, they knew that Jesus was already dead, and so they didn't break his legs. He fulfilled all the prophecies about the Messiah, even the difficult ones. And now his disciples were told to wait for another prophecy to be fulfilled. Prophecy found in the book of Joel, chapter 2. God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." We now have the Holy Spirit poured into our lives. But as the disciples waited, that was to happen in a few weeks' time. We've looked at Maundy Thursday. We've looked at the Last Supper. We've looked at the battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. We've seen Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday, his descent into the depths on Easter Saturday, and his being raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. We've taken this story so far. This story will be continued.